We are continuing today with the saga of Jacob. A reading from Genesis. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then that man said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." The man said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're reading verses from Psalm 17 this morning. "Hear my plea of innocence, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer, which does not come from lying lips. Let my vindication come forth from your presence. Let your eyes be fixed on justice. Weigh my heart. Summon me by night. Melt me down. You will find no impurity in me. I give no offense with my mouth as others do. I have heeded the words of your lips. My footsteps hold fast to the ways of the law. In your paths, my feet shall not stumble. I call upon you, O God, for you will answer me. Incline your ear to me and hear my words. Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand, from those who rise up against them. Amen. God of truth and justice, watch over your people in adversity, that we may know the wonders of your love and see the glory of your presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away, so that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lots of things to talk about today, but I want to continue on with Jacob, because Jacob is so very human and so very much like ourselves. We have a backstory to what happens today, and I'm just going to review it. I was told one time that I'm a Bible teacher, not a preacher. I didn't take that as offense. I don't mind being a teacher of the Bible. So this is how the narrative has gone so far. Esau and Jacob are twins who fought in the womb. Jacob, who was born second, holding on the heel of Esau, his name means supplanter or trickster. Every culture has a trickster figure. Not only does Jacob trick his brother into giving him his birthright, but he tricks his father into giving him the blessing that really is Esau's. Well, Esau says he's going to kill him. So the trickster, supplanter, flees for his life, and he goes to Haran, where he seeks a wife. And it turns out that this is where his mother's brother lives. He meets a beautiful woman whose name is Rachel, and he wants to marry her. And so he agrees to work 7 years in order that he might earn her. But on the wedding night, the trickster is tricked. The bride is all decked out in all kinds of veils and clothes, and so you wouldn't be able to see who she was. And in the morning, he finds that it's not Rachel, but Leah, the less attractive older sister. Sounds kind of like a romance, doesn't it? This Leah is the one that he's actually married. Well, you can imagine, Jacob is furious and goes to Laban and says, you know, you tricked me. But there's no sense to, aha. And then he serves another 7 years for Rachel. And then he works 7 more years. And then there's various deceit and wrangling with Laban, the brother of Rebecca, his mother, and by which he gains a lot of the herd of sheep and goats. In the dark of night, remember, this is a trickster, Jacob leaves with his wife, her maids, 11 children, to travel back. And there are also men going with them. It's an entourage of a tribal chieftain. Now Jacob is going back to Canaan, where he will meet with his brother, and he's afraid. He probably is right to be afraid. He doesn't know where his brother is, how he's going to be understanding the past. And so he very cleverly sends everybody ahead of him across the Jabbok River so that they meet Esau first. And it could be kind of seen as an offering to Esau, should Esau choose to accept it. Meanwhile, he's safe on the other side of the Jabbok. And we have this interesting story. It's a little bit like the story we had a couple of weeks ago about the ladder with angels descending and ascending on it. Is it a dream? A vision? Is it real? Jacob enters into a wrestling match with the person called a man throughout the story. And they are well matched. Maybe, in actual fact, Jacob is wrestling with his own conscience. And this wrestling process goes on all night. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a little girl, wrestling was a big deal. It was on television, which was relatively new then, and it was awful. I hated it. I'm not very good with violence. And my grandmother, on the other hand, she just loved it. And I think it was pretty fake. She was funny. And I mean, she'd be telling the wrestlers to sock him again, sock him again. She really got into the wrestling. So you can imagine, this is Jacob with this man wrestling, grappling, trying to gain the upper hand and pin this opponent to the ground. That's what you do in wrestling, is when you finally pinned your opponent, then you've won. But they're so well matched, he never gets to do that. He just keeps wrestling. Until, interestingly, the man whom we could suppose to be an angel or God cheats. He wrenches Jacob's hip socket so that he will limp. And so, in effect, he wins because the match can't go on. But up to that time, they were well matched, and it was possible that Jacob could prevail. But what happens at the end of the story, I think, is what's instructive for us. So after all this wrestling, he asks the man, whom we presume to be God, to bless him. And he is blessed with a new name. He no longer is Jacob, he becomes Israel, which has various meanings. One can mean God rules. Jacob takes it to mean, I have striven with God and prevailed. But when you get a new name in Scripture, it signifies something important. Think about Simon Peter. Think about Saul, who becomes Paul. So he changes from being this tribal chieftain to being a person who's going to continue God's purposes. He's going to fulfill them. He's no longer just for his little clan, but for what will become the whole nation of Israel. Now, do you strive with God? I have often taught Bible studies. Remember, I'm the Bible teacher. And talked with the learners about wrestling with the Scriptures, grappling with them, trying to understand what they're saying in their actual, the words on the page, figure out what they were saying in the context of the day, and then how that has anything to do with me or us. And that's a wrestle, to get all of those things in place. Many people don't want to wrestle with Scripture. They just want to take it on the surface and go from there. But we don't just wrestle with Scripture. We wrestle with all kinds of things in our lives. We wrestle with health. We wrestle with family and family issues. We wrestle with ourselves and perhaps our own frailties. And our, but they said in the old prayer book, the devices and desires of our own hearts. We wrestle with these things. We wrestle with our conscience. Should I do this? Oh, why did I do that? And you may have had, as I have had, evenings, night times, we're just going over and over and over those same things, going back and forth and back and forth, with an expectation, hopefully, at the end of the night, there is some light that dawns. When Jacob asks for the man's name, that's a way of asking to control that person. That's why God never gives his name. That's the understanding of the time. You don't control God. You don't ask or bargain for what you want. You don't wrestle with God and think you're going to get what you want. Jacob just wants to win. He doesn't expect to become the father of a nation. We strive and we wrestle and we want God to do what we want. We prevail when we give in and accept what God has for us to do, or to accept the way God has led us into the life that we have. Or we accept that we can't change the things we've been wrestling with, but we have to endure and accept them. And we have wrestled with all of that. Another word that they talk about in Scripture is this word strive. And we use that word in the baptismal vows. And we say, we make a promise to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. We also strive to respect persons, strive for justice and peace, strive to seek and serve Christ. All of these are part of what are in the baptismal vows. We are asked to keep wrestling, to keep striving with what God is doing for us and with us. We don't understand it. We may complain. Certainly, when we look at the Old Testament, most of the so-called heroes of the Old Testament, they complained plenty. They certainly didn't always want to do what they were supposed to do, and they complained. God was quite capable of listening to their complaints. And very likely, those heroes of the Old Testament also wrestled with God until God prevailed. It says that Jacob prevailed. Well, prevailed basically because he didn't lose. He saw the face of God and didn't die. We don't often think about seeing the face of God. Certainly not when we're having that very uncomfortable night where we're tossing and turning and trying to understand what is going on in our lives, what we should do. But maybe that's because, as I've said so often, we really aren't looking for it. We're looking for what we want. We're not looking for the face of God. We aren't looking to be transformed. We might not get a new name, but God calls us into the purpose that He has for our lives, whatever that may be. We wrestle, we strive, sometimes we win, not usually with God, but sometimes we manage to keep on. We manage, like Jacob, to go limping away afterwards. But we have prevailed because we saw the face of God and accepted His purpose for our lives. Amen.